Deportation is on the minds of a lot of people, and every day it seems we hear the story of someone expelled from the U.S. Today we're looking at what happens when the breadwinner of the family is deported. What do the spouse and kids do, especially when they're U.S. citizens? Tipa Fernandez spent time with one American family, now living 2 hours from El Salvador's capital, in a small town run by gangs.
I'm in a car with Waldo Martinez and Andrea Hernandez in Sensantepeque. They're headed to pick up their two daughters from school.
Hey, Mom.
Andrea's mom has just called from Las Vegas. That's where the family used to live until Waldo was deported to El Salvador in 2014. 2 years later, unable to make it without him in Las Vegas and missing him tremendously, the family moved here too.
I'm on my way to get the girls. I'm so sorry.
Her mom's in the middle of trying to get her granddaughter's school records from the Las Vegas school they used to attend.
Are you there?
Andrea's phone cuts out.
Do you have minutes?
No.
She's filling out paperwork and she doesn't know what to write. And I don't have Messenger now.
Okay, let me try.
Ay, ay, ay.
The town, Sensantepeque, is charming. It has cobbled streets, a small central square, very old stone buildings.
Some of these buildings are 300 or 400 years old, and where I'm from, that there's nothing even 100 years old.
Are you born and raised in Las Vegas?
I was raised there. My dad was in the Air Force, so I was born in Texas. But we moved back. My parents grew up in Las Vegas, and we moved back when I was just a baby, so.
Andrea calls herself a white American. Her husband, Waldo, was born in El Salvador and raised in this very town. He came to the U.S. in the 90s, escaping the country's civil war. After 25 years in Las Vegas, and despite applying for asylum and temporary protected status, and despite his years-long marriage to a U.S. citizen, Waldo's immigration case was never resolved. When, in 2013, he landed in jail and pled guilty to one count of failing to report an injury to a foster child in his care, he was deported. Life got incredibly hard for Andrea and their four kids.
We went from making $90,000 one year to being on welfare.
She couldn't make it without Waldo. So despite speaking no Spanish, nor having ever visited her husband's native country, Andrea Hernandez packed up her four kids and decided to move to El Salvador.
You know, it might look peaceful and stuff, you know what I mean? But it's just the way it is. And I mean, everybody knows, you know, like the people, like the gangsters and stuff.
Gangsters is what he said. Gangs have come by and swooped up kids right as they leave the school building. So coming early and waiting out front is what Andrea and Waldo do every day. Inside, both their daughters are busy.
Your hands!
Oh no!
Watch this.
Andy is 9. Kids in her class try out their English on her as they play.
Good. He has 7.
Seven.
Meanwhile, in a classroom just off the courtyard come playground, the eldest Hernandez daughter, 16-year-old Lelix, is immersed in a writing class.
Igual Michelle, ella creo que se acordaba de la historia, pero quizás habían pequeñas partes que no se acordaba y por eso lo leía, ¿no?
Only she doesn't really speak much Spanish.
¿Qué piensa usted de la historia de Michelle?
She used to be a straight A's 9th grader in Las Vegas. Now she's just trying to keep up. But she's saved by the bell.
Hi, babe. You ready to walk?
And they set off, navigating thin streets with pulsing traffic and no sidewalks. Hernandez checks in about how the day went as they dart around cars and people. And they discuss the upcoming field day.
She has a soccer uniform, but I figured
she... We have teams.
Oh boy.
I'm with my two friends.
Elder daughter Lelix power walks ahead. It's 90 degrees and intensely humid. Her mom tries to catch up to her.
It's already hard enough being the white kid in town.
Despite having a brown-skinned, Spanish-speaking father, back in Las Vegas, Lelix didn't feel ethnic.
I was the white girl in the neighborhood all the time, and they were like, all the girls would always tell me, even when I got here, they're like, you're blonde. And I'm like, this is not blonde.
The highlight of the homeward trek? Or maybe it's the necessary fuel to make the miles-long walk go quicker. Ice cream.
That choco banana one I had last time was good. Get 2 of those.
Y me da 2 de choco banana. Me da 2. 6, total.
Ice creams in hand, the family continues on homeward. Andrea starts pointing out the houses of gang members.
They say this is one of the worst neighborhoods in this town.
That's where you live.
But we feel safe here because... they've taken us in. They've accepted us.
How did that happen?
Because he grew up here, I guess, and we have family here, and they watched us for quite a while. They weren't immediately friendly to us. But I think just like acting nice to them and befriending them and just them watching us and seeing that we're normal people. And
I would say it's mind your business, you know. Yeah.
And so they've kind of, most people have, are nice to us and say hello and have accepted us. So we're like part, but now we belong to them. That's what the thing is. Someone gave us another house in another area, but it's a rival area, so we couldn't accept it. Because if we went there, we would be in trouble over there, and then we would never be allowed to come back here.
It's eerily quiet. A few guys are milling about. They stare as we walk by. It's tense. I'm struck by the question of why any mother would bring her children to live amidst this danger. We'll find out tomorrow. For The World, Deepa Fernandez, Sinsantepeque, El Salvador.
And tomorrow we'll hear more about life for the family in this gang-controlled town. Deepa's reporting is supported by the IWMF as part of its Adelante Latin America reporting initiative.